Welcome. Please, come along with me and enjoy a little tale, something that will really get you into a spooky sort of mood. You know, a nice little Halloween story. The sort that'll get you into bad situations. Sticky situations. And all sorts of trouble. After all, making bets on Halloween is risky business at the best of times. And when they're the sort that could change you forever, well, you really should be careful about what sort of bets you make. And that's why we're going to explore what happens when you lose in the worst possible way. Well, really depending on the matter of perspective. After all, I'm sure that there's quite a few reasons that it's not bad at all. After all, these sorts of tales are often more titillating than fear-inducing, especially when I'm the one telling them. So just sit back, listen up, put down any distractions, and let me take you on a little adventure, a little journey throughout space and time. It's not a difficult request. After all, you did take a look at what was in here and just go, ooh, that's exactly what I want to experience right now. So play along with me and listen to my voice and let me pull you down into the story. Before you know it, you'll be experiencing so much more than if you just were. It's not a difficult thing, is it? When there's enough concept behind it, anything can pull you in. It doesn't require it to be particularly complex. I could simply construct something around you. Start with setting the time, setting the place, imagining nighttime, the way that it feels cold as the seasons change, the air itself becoming cooler at night as the moisture in the air is being sucked dry by that change of season to the winter months. Feeling that crisp coolness, noticing the way your breath might look in front of your face on a cold day. Experiences that most of us have had, or at least seen. Something we can all construct given the right opportunity, the right chance to focus and listen and build. And the more you think about how it might feel to walk through that cool, cold air, the more focused you get on the time, the space, the place. A cold night. A cold and moonlit night, a bet, a place to prove that all these tales are nonsense, that the Aurochs of Ardenvella Manor aren't real, that there is no such thing as a giant cow woman who tends the grounds of the abandoned manor here. Surely it's a ridiculous tale, the sort told only by the horniest of degenerates to scare others into avoiding their preferred method of downfall. But I say otherwise. I'd say that you're going to lose. And you know, maybe you don't know what or how or why, that with every step you take, the more you begin to feel that trepidation, that anticipation of the inevitable that we both know will befall you before we've finished our journey. The forest is definitely spooky. Mist wreaths the trees, flowing across the surface of the cool, clammy soil. Footsteps send crackles and crunches through dead leaves. The moon is bright, illuminating the dark earth beneath, casting countless jagged shadows that seem to cut and stab at the very air itself as you approach the manor grounds. The faintest of rustles as the wind blows through the few remaining leaves that cling to trees all around you. And there it is, through through the heart of this ancient forest. Wrought iron fences, long abandoned and overbuilt towers, a remnant of a Victorian age, something oh so out of place. It's quite the sight. The windows all mostly intact, except for some of the uppermost ones. An owl calls out from the shadows. Your eyes snap, catching the glint of broken glass in a window for an instant, like a gaze staring down at you. As you approach, the sheer size and expanse of the space begins to loom over you. You feel the oppressive nature of the air here, as though the very cool, cold, clammy air itself was tightening down around you. As though every step was bringing you closer to some locus of great power, of force, of strength, of otherworldly being. And so, you broach the threshold, stepping up onto the porch and towards the great doors themselves, standing for all the world untouched for decades. A nervous hand reaches out, touching the ice-cold metal of the handle, pulling, hearing the clicking of the mechanism in the door, feeling the great weight of the door smoothly opening. No resistance, no grinding, no grating, just a perfect, smooth pull. No creak, no sound at all. As well oiled as the day it was made. And that in itself is, oh, so intriguing. So nerve-wracking. The manor's hall lay out in front of you, sprawling like the entrance to some great labyrinth. The wooden floors lie bare, rugs long scavenged by entrepreneurial types. Ancient markings and somewhat dated pieces of art sit, either decaying, destroyed, or defaced. The manor looks as though it has seen far better days. Cobwebs line the corners, a scuttle of something under the floorboards running from the sound of your first footsteps. The wind's blowing and rustling between the wooden boards. The oppressive energy of the manor pulling down around your mind like a thick blanket, pushing on all your senses like an oppressive and overbearing space in time. There, ahead, moon strikes down through an atrium's shattered dome, light spilling out from the moon as you walk across creaking wooden floorboards deeper into the manor. And as you do, you notice above the doorway a silver cow's head sculpted from metal, mounted and yet somehow untouched by all the hands that have passed through this place picking it of valuables. Its eyes, smooth, unseeing, yet still ominous. And past this threshold, further into the building, you find yourself looking from door to door, drawn to another great set of double doors into what months might have been a ballroom or a great dining hall. It stands barren and empty, except for the giant windows that outlook over the expansive grounds of the manor, an overgrown hedge maze taking up part of it, long decayed fields standing tall with wild growth, trees blotting out the view above, having once more broken free from the tender grasp of gardeners long gone. And as you walk, the floor clacks softly under your shoes, barely seeming to creak for something so old. And again, there above the ballroom, on an archway, a silver cow, horns wide, head huge, stares down at you, the largest one you've seen so far. Around the expanse of the great ballroom, horns stick from the walls, made from sculpted silver, each one in a sconce-like position, holding up long-dead lanterns and electric lights. And that's when you hear the first clack, somewhere deep inside the manor. Just a single, loud, reverberating clack. Echoing down the halls. At first, you think something's fallen. Maybe a rat has knocked over something in an old storeroom. But then, clack, another, clack, someone's walking. Someone who, even on the other side of this great building, can be heard. The storm-like cracks. Sounding almost like the beginnings of a distant lightning. And yet, they echo. They thrum through the building, sending a shiver down your spine. And you bolt back across the great ballroom and into the hall. And you hear the clacking now, coming, coming, near the entrance where you came in. Only a few hallways away. Clack, clack, clack. Turning to a thudding clack. As it steps, whatever may be producing the sound, onto the wood. Thunking clacks, reverberating as you turn down the hall to run deeper into the manor, hoping to find a way out through the back. And as you do, ducking into the servants' quarters, running through the kitchen, you hear the clacking turn to a run. And as you burst out of the kitchen doors and into a dining area, you hear the slamming of a door behind you, and you hesitate to look, catching the faintest of a dark shape occupying the entire doorway, filling it for all the world as well as what was just there, and now lies in pieces upon the floor. You stumble, you freeze, the sheer intensity of something so big and powerful causing your brain to short-circuit for a moment. But it's the eyes. They're what truly leave you dumbfounded, frozen, stuck to the spot. They glow gold, like two ominous owl's eyes peering down from above on a mouse about to be caught in talons. Golden eyes. And you're gone in a flash as your fear turns to sprinting, running, diving desperately out through and down a hall, running past countless rooms towards the back of the manor, hoping to find a way out. As you burst through another set of doors, you find yourself in a great bedroom, once majestic, beautiful, and luxurious, now rotten, decaying, and ancient. And the storming, clattering, clacking of the footsteps of this creature, this beast, fall upon you closer and closer still as you look for a way to escape the room. But it's too late. Even as you look out the window, you realize that the building was built in such a way that now you're an entire story off the ground as the hill slopes down behind the building in this spot. You'd have to jump through plate glass and onto a slope. It's simply just impossible, and yet the fear pushes you to start opening the window, and you hear the clattering smash as that beast comes tumbling into the room, and you find yourself, for all your desire, pushing against the window to try and open it, and it holds steady, and that's when the hand falls upon the back of your neck, and you scream out. Scream out pointlessly, as you're yanked back from the opening window, pulled backwards into the darkness of the room, hands scrabbling at nothing, turning to try and face your attacker, only to come face to face with the muzzle of a very intimidating woman, a creature like none other. The legendary Auruk herself, her grin spreading across her mouth, her horns bursting out from the side of her head, her hair a shaggy mess like a mullet, and yet, oh, that grin says so much. Her eyes, though, just as golden and gleaming as ever, paralyze you with fear as she drags you back, as you scrabble and struggle uselessly against her forearms thicker than your own thighs. She's so tall that she can simply carry you around like a doll by your neck. It hurts, you struggle, and you cry out, but she simply adjusts her grip, grabbing you now lower with a second hand, and tossing you over her shoulder carefully as you struggle and punch and beat uselessly at her thick, strong, muscled back. It doesn't really matter. As she walks back towards the center of the mansion, deep inside, to an open area, a courtyard of sorts that sits in the middle. An ancient fountain stands, still flowing somehow. Water sparkling in the moonlight, shining for all the world like an imitation of the moon itself. And as she does, well, you find her body lifting, chucking, throwing you towards the fountain as you splash into it. She dives in, pulling you as you flip through, the moonlight casting now again on the courtyard. A courtyard different, a courtyard unlike the one you were just in. Statues litter a perfectly maintained garden, even in the fall, looking beautiful. The statues' eyes all gleam in the moonlight, polished smooth marble. Windows glow with a gloomy yet beautiful gold light. The moon is high, clouds far and few between. As she carries you inside, shagging off the thick coat. And you see the manor as it might have been over 100 years ago. Majestic, beautiful, carpets on the floors muffling the thick, clacking steps of the mistress of the manor. She carries you now with purpose towards that same room in which you found yourself caught. Walking with each step, you struggle and scramble against her back, but it's no use, as she simply tightens her grip, causing the air to feel like it was being squeezed from you for an instant. And she chuckles. Oh, come now, do you really think that invading my home would end with anything less than joining it? After all, you had the gall to enter during my favorite moon. Ah, but it's all right. I'll show you the way to be good. And with that, she throws open the great door and steps inside to a well-lit bedroom. Lanterns and oil lamps burning, light glowing off of the inside. Red silken drapes hanging on the windows. Bed lavishly furnished, a four-poster, curtains drawn open, large enough to easily swallow a California king or two. And she tosses you onto the bed, and before you can scramble off, jumps up onto it, pinning you down beneath her great thighs, shrugging off the remnants of her breeches and jacket. Large breasts spilling out from underneath, a carefully removed corset and slip. And there they are, large as can be, the sort that one might fear drowning in, right in front of you, topped with that grin, that evil, evil grin, and those glowing gold eyes. Oh, my sweet little morsel, how I look to have a taste of you. You look Very delightful. I'm glad you've chosen to come here, to enter my home. She who looks upon you has such hunger that you can't help but squirm as she begins to tear your clothes from your body, casually reaching up and ripping the collar apart with two hands like it's tissue paper, reaching down and pulling off undergarments without hesitation, leaving you shivering and naked in the cool air of the manor. And as you squirm, she simply pulls you up, lifting her legs and flipping you over to expose you so very much. You know, I think I'm going to enjoy getting to break you in, having the opportunity to breed you, my newest little acquisition. But first, I think it's time we get you a little more interested in joining my little menagerie, dear. With that, she pulls you up suddenly, tumbling onto the bed, flipping on her side and pulling you against those massive breasts, snuggling you tight between her thighs, closing them, restricting every bit of motion as you squirm and kick and yelp, carefully with her great arms reaching and turning you until you're facing into those breasts, so much that they fill one's vision, encapsulating your head for a brief moment, pushing you beneath the surface, feeling as though you're drowning in warm flesh, squirming, struggling futilely, feeling her squeezing her biceps together, forcing those breasts, feeling something warm spatter down across your back as milk spurts from them. And then she pulls you back as you gasp for air and forces your face straight down onto one of her nipples, spraying milk into the back of your throat. And that moment of disgust ends before it has even finished forming as the warm milk and its soporific effects hits you. The taste is delicious, sweet, and overwhelming. It just penetrates into one's mind. It's impossible to think about anything else. She squeezes again, spraying more milk into you, pulling you tight, burying you, forcing you to do nothing but experience the intensity of that warm, overwhelming grip as milk is spurted again and again relentlessly, melting away any thoughts that were left inside of your mind. That milk dribbling down your face, spraying past your lips, overwhelming you, forcing you to gulp it for a chance at air. She lets you back out again and again, repeating the process, all the while cackling and smiling, enjoying your downfall as your mules in protest slowly switch to desperate and needy and wanton as you push and grind and squirm helplessly, switching gears, feeling your body fill with warmth and desire and heat and need, a desire, a want, a desperation to be filled, to have something, anything, to be used, to be bred like the good little darling you are. You need it so badly. You look up now at those eyes, those golden, gleaming, beautiful, inspiring, commanding eyes with rapture and desire as you're pulled up again once more, left to lie on your back. And her form is again above you, lifting your ankles easily, tossing them up onto shoulders, barely making it because of the size difference between the two of you. Lifting your body, cradling it from underneath with strong hands, and you notice then for the first time that she's sporting a massive cock, one that has certainly been enhanced in size by the delightful squirming and mewling you've been having, as it pulses and throbs with arousal, heat practically pouring off of this cow into you. Oh, yes, that's the plan for sure. Milk dribbling down her chest, she reaches up, dipping her fingers into it, licking it sloppily, and eyeing you as you squirm and mule. Hands slipping down to find purchase on that needy spot, that wanton place, that desperation to be filled, finally being satisfied by a soft finger beginning to probe and quest and work its way inside. And each moment that passes, you grind against it, push into it, buck into it. And that finger teases and is joined by another, and more spit and milk added to it, forming a lubricant that is viscous and slippery, spraying her breast milk down onto you, and yet it all feels so right. Things have shifted and changed, your mind melting under the onslaught of pleasure that's tumbling through it. And as you grow ready, as that need is only just beginning to be sated, the hand pulls back, you mule, you buck, you squirm, and are happily rewarded by the tip of her huge girl cock pressing, pressing, and with that work, finding its purchase and beginning into you. It feels like it's going to be too much, and yet, it's just what you could have wanted right then, as she pulls you down slowly and steadily against her, bringing your head against her chest, forcing you into the bosom of a lifetime, milk spurting out again from the force of her grip as she uses you like a cock sleeve to start stimulating herself, hands gripping your hips, lifting bodily and pulling you off the bed, bucking you in the air, stepping up off of the bed to find purchase against the wall nearby, standing and pressing your back into it, mewling cries, a mark of the pleasure that is being torn from your body. And so the onslaught continues. And as it does, one begins to realize that that milk has certainly melted any thoughts inside your head. Each stroke, each press, each moment, making it more and more difficult to hold a coherent thought together inside as you're taken for the ride of a lifetime. It's truly what it is to be bred, to be mindfucked, to have your entire body quivering and shaking as you're lifted in such strong, soft, feminine arms. Oh, yes, that's exactly it. Sweet little morsel, welcome to the menagerie. I think you'll make a fine and wonderful new pet. I'll definitely be keeping you with the way you've responded. Take a little bit more and see what it'll get you. Have another sip of my milk. Have another taste. Have another moment in my thrall. She pulses and pushes and strokes deep, using you, and yet you feel such pleasure in each moment that passes, each stacking upon the last, milk fed to you at intervals, mind and time blurring together as your body becomes limp and helpless against the forces being used upon you, the otherworldly pleasure pummeling at what is left of your thoughts, your mind, as you're moved from position to position, thrown back onto the bed, climbed on top of, flipped over like a little rag doll, used and used until your mind is shattered like a mirror, countless fragments of pleasure breaking apart into a star field of delight within, milk dripping down your face, cock buried still deep inside. And in that moment, you begin to drift away into that pleasure, into that delight. And eventually the beast is sated. She is done. And she lies holding you tight in her embrace, feeling so snug and secure within it. Only able to let pleasured pulsing find its way through your body. Twitching, convulsing, and dropping off into a sweet, soft, comfortable, safe, snuggly sleep. thoughts drifting mind, without purpose, without focus, ideas, concepts, all aware and possible, able to take in your surroundings bit by bit, breathing deeply, taking a moment to be aware that you are drifting from this space, this time, this place, this story, this experience, to be more present where you were. Feeling the pull of gravity, maybe stretching and shifting a little, allowing yourself to become more and more aware with each passing moment of the space you are in, the room, allowing yourself to wake. Good. Letting all that was stay where it is, except for the memories, the enjoyment, the pleasure of the experience. Thank you so very much for listening.